Okay, Perikop Dalad. We saw the first couple of psukim. Let's just quickly go through them once again. They're very fast. So, page 154. Pasuk Aleph says, "Vayal David Misham, Vayeshev Bimsados Ein Gedi." That David was continuously on the run, as we see in our packet. The map that he was now at this point moving eastward toward this place called Ein Gedi. Pasuk Bet, Vayhi Kasher Shav Shaul Miachwei Plishtim. We mentioned the end of last parak that even though he had David, he could have easily killed him. Instead, he was confronted with the Philistines and therefore he ran to fight them. So as Shaul turned away from the Plishtim, the Agidu Lelemor Hini David Bemidbar Ein Gedi. So he was told, Shaul was, that David was in this very place, and go back and capture him. And we're going to see today that in fact he is successful in being only a few feet away from David. Pasuk Gimel, Vayikach Shaul Shloshes Alafim Ish Bachur Mikol Yisrael. That Shaul took 3,000 of the best of his soldiers. He handpicked them. Vayelech Levakesh as David. He went to search out for David. Vayanashiv al pnei Suri Hayyelim. We basically left off last time discussing this place, Suri Hayyelim, which is rocky, in which only the wild goats would inhabit. People didn't go there, but that's where David was hiding out. And in fact, that's to this day is where you can go and see these goats, these wild goats of Ein Gedi. Alright. Okay, so now let's go a little bit slower with Pasuk Dalet. We did see this Pasuk as well, but let's continue. Vayavo el Gidros Hatzon. So they went to the area where the sheep were pasture grazing. Al Haderech Vishom Ara. There was a cave. Vayavo Shol Hasech Esraglov. And there Shaul went. Hasech Esraglov. We saw Mesudas Sion so ever delicately says, Lasus Srachav bin Akavim, he had to use the bathroom. Vadavid Vanashav Bayarchase Hamar Yoshin. And David and his men, Bayarchase, also the Mesudas Sion helps us out over there and says, Basof, they were at the end of the cave, Yoshim sitting down. They were crouched on the other side of the cave, in the darkest part of the cave, where was impossible for Shaul to see. And the question as we left off last week was, well, why didn't Shaul possibly suspect? After all, if he was at Ein Gedi, there's a chance that he could be in one of many caves. And we said that the famous Medrash brought down the Yalkut about the spider web. That what happened was that Hashem caused the spider to make a web around the opening of the cave. So that Shaul looked at this and says, impossible that there's anyone inside this cave, and therefore he probably just removed the web, and he walked in feeling safe and secure. But the reality was Hashem did this on purpose to show David the purpose and benefit of everything in this world, including a spider. And that's the reason why he went in there. And so we also mentioned, in the words of the Radak last time, that we see from the words lehasech esraglav comes the word schach, that just like a schach covers you up, the roof of the sukkah, so too that's how Shaul was even when he was going to the bathroom. He was very sneus, he was very modest, and because of this modesty, this was one of the reasons why the Mefarshim explained that he was spared because of this noble act, that even in Chedri Chedorim, in the darkest areas in the world where there was seemingly no one else looking, nonetheless he had the Yerushimayim, apparently that's the idea, that he still covered himself up because he understood that God was still there, God was looking, and therefore it's improper for him to be exposed as such. So it's not just that he was sneus. The fact is how he was sneus and where he was sneus He was also chasing after his enemy, who's in the middle of almost like a war, a battle. And nonetheless, he still remembered and felt the presence of God to the point that he was modest in a cave where there was no one else. Apparently, there was no one else around. All right. Pasukei, that's where we left off. Vayomru Anshe David Elov. So the men of David said to him, Hine hayom asher amar Hashem elecha. Behold, there was a day in which Hashem said to you on page 156, Hine anochi nosein es ayivcha b'yadecha. Hashem will place your adversaries in your hands. Yasisilo kasher yita b'yadecha. Therefore, you'll be able to do whatever you want with them. This is the day. Hashem promised you that one day you will have control of your enemies. There's no greater enemy of yours at this point except for the king. And therefore, the fact that he's right now in this cave, that's him. I'm telling you, he just walked in the cave, even though he can't recognize us, he doesn't know we're here. That's the king, and let's do whatever you want. Kill him.
I miss Leslie, but does he still have the same number of people that he had with him? Done it?
Yeah, he was not alone. He certainly had, a few hundred.
250 or something like that.
Yeah, there was a... And yet they were still quiet in this cave, this deep cave. Yeah, but that's apparently they were all hiding with him. That's the impression. Certainly, it doesn't say. It's possible maybe there was another cave. Other people were, but he certainly David was not alone. There were certainly people there trying to edge him on to kill Shaul. But David doesn't do so. If we continue in the pasuk. Vayakum David vayikros kanaf hamil asher shol balwa, and David got up, and instead of chopping off the head of the king, he cuts off the corner of the garment, which was Shaul, which belonged to Shaul, balot. Mesudas Sion says b'chashoy, quietly, secretively. He didn't do it, obviously announcing it. He did it quietly, made a little cut on his garment, tore it. And then walked away, as though nothing happened. And then, of course, what the intention would be that Shaul would go back out of the cave, and he'd probably walk a few miles, and he'd look at his coat and say, how did this get torn, this huge stabbing mark of a knife? It must be that I was in enemy's hands, and yet they spared my life. They could have easily, instead of just rending my garment, could have easily stuffed that knife right into my very flesh. And therefore, maybe this would be the reason why Shaul will have compassion. Because I'll show him that I could have killed you, and I didn't. So it shows that even though you want to kill me, I really have nothing against you. And therefore, maybe this is a way for you to stop chasing me, and we could again all be friends. What?
And yet Shaul did not feel it. Nobody saw it. You didn't see and feel him doing this or anything?
Apparently not.
Was he incognito?
It was very dark.
He was preoccupied. Let me just leave it at that. But what we were saying about the meal?
He's a very symbolic.
Yeah.
He did it while he was.
That's what implies. Yes. The meal represents. So by right, he's being cut off from the remaining amela. That's the symbolism. Right. So it's a king. Obviously, he's wearing royal garments of some sort, even though he's running around trying to kill David. So, yeah. But as we see in the Radak quotes a very fascinating piece of Talmud, which shows that what David did was a mistake. He made a mistake. We look at the Radak over here on page 156, the third line. V'yichros as kanach ha'mi'il. Darshi rabotenu, that our sages learn, quoting the Talmud toward the end of the tractate Brachot, Kol hamavaza sebegadim. Anyone who disgraces their clothes, who does not treat their clothing with dignity and respect, will sof eno nehena mehem. At the very end of one's days, you will not derive any benefit from them. They will serve no purpose for you. Shinemar, as it says, later on, with regard to David, when he was later on in years, the Pasuk says, Ve'yachasuhu b'begadim, that they constantly covered David with blanket after blanket after blanket. Below Yichamlo, and it didn't keep him warm. It kept him, he remained cold. And that's a quote from the beginning. Malachim, Aleph, 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 say from Malachim, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, the very first Pasuk in Book of Kings. Ba'one shikares m'il, sha'ol ha'yelozeh. We learn out from here, mida k'neged mida, of some sort, that because he didn't show the proper respect and clothes, so therefore clothes did not serve any purpose for him either. We're going to have two answers for that question. They may not be two good answers, but we'll get to two answers. We're going to first see the next two psukim, Vav and Zion, and then we'll address this question of what did he really do wrong, and why is this a punishment, what's the significance of it. Well, hopefully we'll get a little more insight into this radak. Okay, let's go into Pasuk Vav. Pasuk Vav tells us that as soon as after David tore, rended the garments of the king, he realized that he himself, he made a mistake. Vayihi achrei kein, after this, vayach lev David oso. David's heart was hit, which doesn't mean he could be vayachas lev, like a person does tshuva when they hit their heart, but it means that he felt that he did something wrong. He felt regret, right, guilt, he felt he did something wrong. Al-Asher Karas es Kanaf Asher L'shol, and he spells it out. The reason why he felt bad was because of what he did, that he tore the garment of Shaul. Which again is strange, because you think he was allowed to even kill him. He was chasing after him, you think he'd be allowed to even protect his life to be able to kill him. So why is he cares that he was so upset about this garment? So the next pasuk gives us a little insight into why David realized that he made a mistake. But Yomer, because he said La'anashem to his men, Chalilili, far it is to me, Mi Hashem, I did a disgrace, I did a terrible thing, a desecration. Im Eses Adavar Hazel Adoni, that I did such a thing to my master. He's referring to Shaul as my master. And he's not doing this as PR to impress Shaul. Shaul's not hearing him, he's saying it from the heart. L'Mashiach Hashem, I did such a treachery to the Mashiach Hashem, the anointed one of Hashem. After all, Shaul is still the king. He was anointed to be the king.
So was David.
Okay, but so I should certainly show respect to him. The same respect that I deserve.
Does David know that he was anointed? He's supposed to be the king.
David was already anointed. Yeah. But right now, he's the king. Whether or not he'll be a king for a long time doesn't matter. He was appointed by Hashem and anointed as well. L'shloach yadi bo. Now, here I am. I send my hand against him. Ki Mashiach Hashem hu. I can't believe I did this. He's Mashiach Hashem. He's the anointed one of Hashem. So I'm very disappointed in myself for having made such a terrible decision. So let's look in the Radak. The Radak says Vayachlev David also, that David hit his heart, which the Radak translates here, explains as Chashash Velibo, he
doubted.
Yeah, okay, yeah, it could be doubted in his heart, right? Shema, yeah, he had this issue, he had this feeling. Shema, Yashem Hashem Loi Avon, maybe Hashem will think of this as a sin, I did something wrong. Bekarasu Knaf Me'il HaMelech, for cutting off the garment of the king. Ki Afal Pi, even though Shehu Haya Rodfo, even though he was chasing after me to kill me, Alpha Pike, nonetheless, Yeshua Liro Mimenu, I should have still shown some fear for him and shown some respect for him. The fact that I cut his garment was a huge, huge mistake on my part, and I feel terrible about it. And we conclude also the Yonasan Targum, according to Targum Yonasan, he explains, V'chosh David Belibe. That's how he translates that Vayach Lev David Oso, this means he actually hid himself, but it means he felt bad. He felt that he did something which was beneath him that he shouldn't have done.
Well, how does the concept of David fit in here? Isn't it so that if somebody is trying to pursue you with the end of your life being his goal, that you're supposed to be good?
Correct.
But maybe not the Mashiach Hashem. Well, I don't know.
Right. Technically, if someone's coming to chase you, to kill you, you have every right to protect yourself to the point that you can preempt and kill that person. And you didn't do anything wrong, because you're preserving your life. And if someone's trying to murder you, you can defend your life. You can't just allow that to happen. So, that's another question. What did David really do? David could have killed him. So, if he could have killed him, so what's the difference? He tore his garment? That was seemingly a very nice thing. So, to answer some of these questions, it's brought down in the Yalkut as follows. It says, with regard to this pasuk that we just read, Vayach Lev David Oso, that he felt bad inside, internally, there's two explanations. And it's not here, it's in the Yalkut. It says, Rabbi Huda feels that Ma Bein Kata Tzitzutza L'Kata Reisha. It says, what's the difference between him cutting the head of the king and cutting his garment? There should be no difference whatsoever. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says. If it was someone else, you'd probably say that doesn't make any sense. So even if it doesn't make sense, since it was Rabbi Yehuda, obviously we have to make sense of it. But as we said, the fact that he cut off his garment is no different than cutting off the king's head himself. And Rabbi Nachman, which that's one thing that he did wrong, Rabbi Nechemiah says, Shabbat lo mitzvah sitzes sha'achas. The garment was not just a typical meal. It was a four-cornered garment. And when he cut off the garment,
he cut off, right?
So now it's no longer tzitzis. It's no longer obligated tzitzis. No longer has four corners.
It wasn't just a coat or a cloak. This was the tzitzis that he was wearing?
Well, the tzitzis that are worn nowadays is not, they used to put it on all their garments. So his outer garment, this coat, you know, which draped all the way down, it had four corners. So he chopped off one of those corners.
Well, you have to put, since it's only on a four-cornered garment.
Right.
And that was their clothing.
Right. Almost all their clothing were four corners, so they wore, you know, whatever it was, they put sitzes on them.
No, that's so, his clothing was a four-cornered right. garment, and it had
he cut off this corner.
But
so
was also that he humiliated the king,
maybe,
because
very nice. They don't explain it that way, but we know that Hamal ben Pnei Chavero, it's comparable to Shvichas Damim. By embarrassing a person, it's comparable to bloodshed itself. And but so that certainly could be an explanation of Rabbi Huda's cryptic words, Hamal ben Katalat Tzitzutza L'Kata Reisha. He brings down over here, he explains it in greater detail, and he says, apparently the dispute between Rabbi Huda and Nehemiah is, why was David so upset that he cut off the garment of Shaul? Why was David bothered? After all, hinei Shaul hayarodef achar David. He was pursuing him. Ulchara hayamutter lo ledavod hatzolos atzmi. He's allowed to save himself in whichever way he can. And there's a dispute among the commentators whether or not, if instead of you murdering them, let's say you can shoot the guy in the leg, whether or not you're allowed to kill the person. So you would think, in this case, what did he do? He did an admirable thing. Not only did he not cut him or hit him or hurt him by one of his feet or one of his limbs, he just cut off his garment, and that was it. So you would think that he did absolutely nothing wrong. So why exactly is David upset? He did nothing wrong, he was just protecting himself. So he explains like this, based on these two explanations. According to the first, of Rabbi Huda, he says, V'yachar kach hitzta'er David. David was bothered gam al kach on this, because he said to Hashem, She'ein hevdel bin knaf l'chatichas arosh. There's no difference between a garment and the chopping off his head. Ki shoyel lo yaharigoso. Because I know, even though Shaul's right in front of me, and I'm here with this nice, huge machete, Hashem will not allow this guy to be killed. Hashem is going to protect this guy because he's Mashiach Hashem. He's the anointed one. He's the great king of the Jewish people. So I already know that even if I intend to kill him, and I do everything in my power, I shoot thousands of bullets in his direction, he will not die. That's what David felt. So therefore David said to himself, you know, the fact that he was protected by Hashem, that I'm not even allowed to cut him or anything, so the fact that I went and put a cut in his garment, that was also wrong. I wasn't allowed to do that either. Because he's Mashiach Hashem, because he's the anointed one of Hashem. Hashem protected him, and Hashem would never have allowed him to be killed. So the fact that I cut off this garment was not something admirable, because I couldn't have laid a finger on him even if I wanted to. The fact that I cut a garment on him also shows a lack of respect, which I shouldn't have done. And according to the opinion of Nehemiah, discussing the idea of tzitzis, he says that, what's the idea of tzitzis? The mitzvah of wearing tzitzis corresponds to 613 mitzvos. In fact, if you look at the word tzitzis, the numerical value is 600. Sadi is a 90. A yud is 10. Sadi is 90. Yud is 10. And the saf. 90, 10, 90, 10. 400 equals 600. And each of the corners have 8 strings and 5 knots, which correspond to the 613, the Tari mitzvos. And in the third paragraph of the Shema, we say that Risemoso should look at them, Uzichartem es kol mitzvos Hashem. And then you're able to remember all the mitzvos. So Reb Nechemiah is saying that what's the problem of removing his tzitzis so he didn't wear tzitzis for 1 minute? What's the difference? Because the purpose of the tzitzis is so you should look at them and remind yourself of Hashem's Torah and Hashem's mitzvos. Explains the Kli Yakar that now that I chopped off his tzitzis, in which one of the 613 mitzvos is Lo Tirtzach, do not murder, so now what I've done is I've taken away that visual aid for Shaul to protect himself from committing a crime of murder. And the Kli Yakar beautifully, if you look in this pasuk over here, it says, when it says that he hit himself, it says, Bayach Lev David Oso. What does it mean that David hit his heart Oso? What is the extra word Oso? So he says that it comes to remind that David was bothered by in the Shema itself. When it comes to looking at the tzitzis, it says urisem. What's the next word? Oso. Urisem oso. That you should see them. So therefore, according to the Kli Yakar, he says that because I chopped off his tzitzis, now I'm bothered. Vayach lev David oso. I'm bothered by the oso that now thou Shaul does not have the ability to be able to look at those tzitzis, to be able to see them, to remind himself that he's committed the crime, that he potentially can commit a crime of Lo Tirtzach. So therefore, that was my mistake. It wasn't just that I took away his tzitzis, it was the fact that now that I took away this ability for him to be able to remember all the mitzvos, he will now do averus, which will be partially my responsibility because I took away that visual aid from him. So that's...
Well, that
corner that
he took off, was that part of his?
They're invalid.
He didn't have other garments that had the four corners in it?
Was he made?
I don't know.
That coat has to be given to him, not for him to be taken on his own. And he took it upon himself to cut it. And that was the representation of the mother. And there's another thing.
Yeah.
Shaul is still king. We know that he was Nishach. But the people don't know. He's just a rebel. At this point, he's a rebel.
Some people, but look at how many people are with Shaul and how many people are with David.
David is hiding. He is a rebel. At this point, he's still a rebel.
But doesn't David know that Hashem is on the song?
That's why he shouldn't have cut the coat.
this shows a lack, some level of a lack of faith, of being protected of some sort.
It's a level of humility. He took it upon himself.
Right.
Or human nature. But he is sorry.
He can't disregard the fact that he didn't kill him, even though you say he's not guided by Hashem.
Absolutely. But he, but the big thing is sorry. The big is immediately sorry. He knows immediately. That's the beauty of
Christ. Right. Right. And that's David in general.
Yes.
He's willing to say,
I made a mistake.
Which leads to the next question. If in fact, as we saw in Pasuk Zion, that he did admit to the fact that he made a mistake, and he realizes that he shouldn't have cut the garments of Shaul, so how do we understand this Radak, that he's now he's going to be punished later in years, that these garments will never give him any warmth? Isn't there a concept of tshuva? There's a concept of repentance. And we see clearly in this pasuk that he did tshuva. So how come Hashem doesn't forgive him for this? So it's brought down. There's a couple of answers. I'm not sure who says it. But if we read pasuk Zion one more time, we'll be able to see why it was not a complete tshuva. But Yomer La'anoshev, he said, Chalili Hashem, Im Esa Davar Zag did this thing, Ladoni, Mashiach Hashem. I did this terrible thing by cutting off the garment of the Mashiach Hashem. Shloach Yadi Bo Ki Mashiach Hashem. I can't believe I did this. I was wrong. I should not have cut off the garment of the Mashiach Hashem. So what some people learn out is that what was bothering David, not that he was Mavaz as begotten, not that he destroyed and ruined someone's clothes. It was Mashiach Hashem's clothes. So the tshuva was only that I shouldn't have destroyed his clothes, which implies that otherwise David's not bothered by the fact that we'd be rendering destroying clothes in general. And therefore, because of that, he was not accepted that level of tshuva, and therefore his garments would not provide the warmth and comfort because of it.
What about
explanation?
Yes. And they didn't have this problem that their clothes weren't keeping them warm.
Well, we don't know that. Maybe they.
Well, didn't say.
Yosef was not the Mashiach
Hashem.
He's another example. He was the one who said that the clothes in general. That's what he was.
But there's another aspect of this. In the coat, Turing, like as I said, is the coat of the Malchut. He calls Shaul Avi. Look what happened to the V. His son.
But a little blood in your clothes, you can just put some bleach on it and finished.
They
could be.
Kohen Gadol keeps his clothes clean. With all that blood,
different clothes.
Every day.
Higher quality.
Change the clothes many times. Young people need to change their clothes.
Now we know why. So
the wives, the women.
Okay, so. So that's how some people explain this whole episode. Let's continue with Pasuk Ches. Vayashasa David es Anoshov. Vayashasa the Radak over here is probably the best way to translate it. He says, I can't find it. On the very, very bottom, before Badera. According to Vionis, the first wide line, when he says, the very end of it, where it says, Vionis Amtargan Vayashasa's Ufayes, appeased, right? That's the Radak brings down the Targum Yonasan. That David was trying to appease some group of people. As Anasha tried to convince his men, Bedvarim, with words, because they couldn't believe this. You could have killed him. We're running around like crazy, hiding in caves. You have your enemy in your hands. Why don't you just kill him and then we'd be all set? So David had to speak to them. V'lona sonam lakum el shaw. He had to explain to them that the reason why he did not rise up against to kill Shaul. V'shaul kam mihamara v'yel fadar. And Shaul, meanwhile, got up from the cave, apparently not even knowing at all what had happened, and he had left the cave. So he went.
All this conversation between Dubin and his men, Shaul didn't even hear.
Right. So it was a very, obviously it was a, could have been a very, very deep cave.
Okay.
Or it's also possible that even though it says that they said this, they said that, it could be like he understood what their intentions were. They didn't even necessarily have to have conversations, but they knew he could read their mind as if to say, you better kill him. Or why didn't you kill him? Where is this? It's something along the lines of trying to convince, trying to persuade.
By Yashasa is to persuade, convince, right?
It's just a different, something along those lines. That's the basic idea. That's why the Radak, the Targum Yonasan says, Fayes, it's brought down, and Rashi also has, I mean, everyone's bothered by the word. It's not the most common word. Rashi says, Hivdil, he separated them, Dacho some of the Barim, he tried to push them, you know, like to persuade them with his words, to try to explain the logic and why he didn't kill Shaul, even though he was in there, his hands. Pasuk test. Vayokum David Achari came vayitzimin mehamara, that David got up, went out from the cave. Vayikra Achari Shaul, and he called after Shaul. Can you imagine this? Lamor, Adoni HaMelech, Master, King, my Master. Vayabit Shaul Acharav, and Shaul, who was maybe just a few steps beyond the cave, he just left it. He basically turned around, saw David there, and David immediately bowing down. V'yikud David apayim arza v'yishtachu. So he bowed down on his face. He bowed, prostrated himself completely in front of the king to show his complete servitude and respect and reverence to the king. Pasuk yud. V'yomer David l'shol. So David, without apparently getting any permission, just began speaking. And he said to the king, Lama tishmas divrei adam lemor. Why do you listen to the words of Adam, which sounds like only one person, one man saying? In fact, if you look on page 157, the word Adam, it's brought down over here, says, quotes Rashi, is a man, that someone was doeg badomi. Right? There's one guy, the guy who is, of course, responsible for killing Novi or Kohanim. Why do you listen to this one person? Which, before we conclude this pasuk, which obviously it shows that one person has the ability to do such incredible destruction. With just one Baal Lashon Hara, you have no idea the potential destruction that you can cause. Hine David Mevakish Ra'asecha. That, why were you listening to this guy that he was pretending that, by saying that David is searching out to do ra, to do bad against you? It's completely, completely not true. And again, that's what Rashi says here again. Lama tishma, lama tekabel elai lashon hara shel dayek. Why would you listen? Why did you listen to lashon hara? Look how destructive it is. Why did you listen to it? Pasuk get out. Hine hayom hazeh. Hold on this day. Look with your own eyes. Hashem put you into my hands on this day in that cave right over there. The Amar Laharcha, and a bunch of people, all my men, were rooting, shouting, screaming at me, kill the guy. But guess what I didn't do? Didn't kill you. The Tachas Alecha. I had pity and compassion upon you. If Yomer Loesh Achiyadi Badoni, I said, I'm not going to stretch my hand up against my master. Ki Mashiach Hashemu. He again repeats himself. It's because you're Mashiach Hashem, and I'm not going to kill such a person. But look at Mesudas David. Mesudas David says here in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Yomer Lohargecha, kol echad mi'anashim, every single one.
That's why it says va'amar and not va'amru.
Because they all said it together as one. Right, very good. Omrul hargecha, they all said, kill him. And there was no dispute. Everyone unanimously wanted you to die. V'chasa nashi alecha v'hu mikra katsa. It's a short way of writing it, but the point is that I had compassion on your nefesh, on your soul, even though no one else among my group wanted me to do so. We look at the Radak on Pasuk Yud Aleph, where it says, Avatachasin Alecha. So it says, this is the third last line, Rabbeinu Zichron Levracha, Parashu, that the rabbis of blessed memory say, again, going back to the strange episode of the way you conducted yourself in the cave, Snias Shahoisa Bachasalech, because of the modesty that you showed while relieving yourself, that's the reason why I had compassion upon you. Why? Kimuto Hayla Harkha, I was really technically speaking, halachically speaking, from the letter of the law, it's a lot to kill you. Ki Raidivata, you're chasing after me. Those are the four famous words of a rodent. If someone comes to kill you, hashkim.
Do it first.
Exactly. So technically I was allowed to kill you. According to halacha, I could have easily done so. Every one of my men felt that it was certainly the right choice to just kill you and finish. But I didn't. I had rachmanis on you, compassion. And therefore, hopefully you'll now stop chasing me and leave me alone. Pasuk Yud Bet, and here's your father. V'avi, right. And my father, re'e si gam re'e es kanaf. Look at the garments, 158. Mi'ilcha bi'adi. Look at the mi'il, this corner of your garment. Ki bikarti et kanaf mi'ilcha, because I chopped it off, this part of your clothes. V'l'harticha, and I didn't kill you. So it's not like I'm making this stuff up. I was in the cave. You don't want to believe me? You don't have to believe me. I have...
Tamar
with your garment.
I was just going to say that. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Just like Tamar.
Yeah, so there's nothing you can deny. It's right here.
And he says the Adi. It's like his father-in-law.
Yeah, we're gonna get the Mitzvah Sion. I like you. We'll see that in a second. Let's finish this pasuk. V'l'harticha. I didn't kill you. Dalra'e now you should know and see. Ki ain biyadi ra. No interest in doing anything bad to you. V'fesha v'lo chatasi lach. I have no interest in doing any sin or doing anything terrible to you. V'yata on you. Sodes nashi l'kachta. Sodes, translate over here, is Mr. De Sion, top line. Oyrev. An ambush. And you who are trying to ambush me, to acquire me, to take me. Why are you trying to hunt me down and try to kill me? I'm not trying to kill you. I had a chance to kill you and I didn't. So why would you want to kill me, my father? So if you look at Masuda Sion translates my father quite literally. He says, well, a couple explanations. First of all, on bottom of page 156, Inyan Gadol Basar. Could be, when you call someone your father, it means that he's above you, he's more powerful than you, you look up to him. So I'm calling you my father, not really my father, Jesse's my father, Yishai, but nonetheless, you're very great, just like a father. Kemo Aval Beno, just like a father and a son. Oh, or Lafi Shayachosno Chashvu Ka'av, because it was his father-in-law. Father-in-laws also you can call dad. There's nothing wrong with it. This is the source that you can call your mother-in-law mom and your father-in-law dad, because that's what David did. He said dad.
You have to call him.
That's what he said, right. And if you look on page 157,
you're not allowed to call him by their first name. Although
it's brought down in halacha along those lines. You over there, right.
Yeah, right. Grandma.
If you look on page 157 in the English, it says this as well. It spells it out, quoting the words of the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch, the Yoredeya. It says, David addressed him this way because Shaul was his father-in-law. This is the source of the law that one must honor his in-laws. Okay. All right. So that's another way to interpret it. The other idea behind calling him an Av is, as we say in our tefillos, that Hashem should have rachamim ka'av rachim al banim, just like a father shows compassion to their child, so too Hashem should show compassion to us. And therefore, this is what he was doing. He was trying to tap into that type of a father-son relationship. He should have compassion for me as well. All right. Let's see a couple more psukim, then we'll stop. Pasuk Yud. What was that? That was Pasuk Yud Bet. We saw it was Pasuk Yud Gimel on page 158. All right. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Yishmar Hashem Beni Veinach. Hashem should judge between the two of us. Unakamani Hashem Mimeka, and Hashem should be revengeful and avenge me against you. V'yadi lo tiyaba, my hands should not be upon you.
I shouldn't do it, but God should avenge me. That's what it sounds like.
Is there an authority on
that? Yeah, there should be, but I don't see any.
No, it says l'haya, if it would be. He doesn't say that he's cursing him. He's saying, if it would be that, you know, God will judge you and will judge between you and me, then it will be God.
Will avenge me, you know?
Yes. Maybe when we see it, we'll see the next pasuk, and maybe that'll explain a little bit better.
16.
Right. Yeah. That's true. But let's just see. Let's see the next pasuk. Pasuk Yudalad. After we see that, we'll maybe understand a little bit better exactly what he was saying. He was not saying anything which was completely negative and derogatory, because we're going to end up seeing that they, at the very end of this parak, that they create some type of a bond with each other, and they go separate ways without killing each other. So let's see Pasuk Yudalad, because it would be strange that he was just being insulting to him. Kasher Yomar, so Pasuk Yudalad really explains Pasuk Yudgimel. Kasher Yomar, Mishal HaKadmoini, just like the original storyteller, the original parable teller said, which some explain the Mashal HaKadmoni is Hashem. He said, Mirashayim Eitzei Resha. From Mirashayim comes, from wickedness comes forth wickedness. V'yadi lo tiyabach. And with my hands, it should not occur. It should not be to me. So we look at Rashi. Rashi says, Mirashayim Eitzei Resha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who comes up with this idea. Mezamin LaRasha, he prepares the Rasha, the wicked individual, Shenoifel Biyad Rasha, that should fall into the hands of another wicked person. It's brought down in the Gemara Makos as follows. It doesn't say it here, but it says the Kedisim Masechet Makos, that the Gemara discusses that sometimes a person who kills b'shogeg, manslaughter inadvertently, goes to the cities of refuge, the Ari Miklat. Okay. The way that generally happens, and as the Talmud explains in great detail, is that if you are chopping wood and the blade goes down in a downward motion, as opposed to killing someone going up. Okay, that's the details of it. Someone who kills on purpose, b'mezid, is supposed to be murdered. It's supposed to be set. Okay, now what happens in the event, the Talmud says, that there are no witnesses for either one? So Hashem will devise a plan that one of these guys is going to be on top of a ladder. Happens to be the one who killed already, b'shogeg, inadvertently, is going to be on the top of the ladder. And a murderer who was not caught for his crime, who should have been sentenced to death, but there was a loophole in the witnesses, is going to be walking on the bottom of the ladder. And what's going to happen? He's going to negligently slip and fall and land on this guy and kill this guy. So the person who was on the bottom deserved to be killed. And the person on the top deserved to go to the cities of refuge this time there was witnesses. So what was the point of this? So what the Talmud is saying is that when you see a punishment which occurs, even though it's by accident, there was a reason why you were the vehicle that punishment went through. The fact that you hit someone, even if it was by accident, it shows that really you did something wrong yourself. And therefore this is what David was saying. If we can now go back to Pasuk Yud Gimel, maybe this we'll be able to understand this Pasuk a little bit better. When he said, Yishmar Hashem b'ni v'necha, it means, and that Hashem should avenge, v'yadi lo tiyeh bach, that it shouldn't be in my hands, is even though you'd possibly, I don't know, but if you deserve to be killed, I don't want to be the one that would kill you. I would rather just cut your garment and call it a day. By me killing you, even though it would clearly show that since you died, that you deserved it, it would also show that I did something wrong as well, that I was the one that had to go about your demise, your being killed. And therefore, if it's true that you deserve to be killed, let it not be through my hands, but rather it be Yishbot Hashem b'ni u'b'necha, let Hashem be the one to find another messenger. As Rashi says in closing, Shenafel b'yad Rasha, that let it be that you will fall in the hands, not of me, but rather a Rasha, and not David HaMelech.